Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Tet. And the last thing that we learned was the story of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's son. And we pointed out that there were some pretty tough words really over there, that the kid did not like his uncle very much, because apparently he was well aware, as we'll see in the next story, he was well aware that his father died because of Rabbi Yochanan. And then when Rabbi Yochanan told him the drasha of aser ta'aser, so that it was aser b'chteshet ta'asher, the kid challenged him, and then in the end said that if he knew the pasuk in Malachi, so then he would not have needed to have Rabbi Yochanan explain it to him, and certainly not have needed Rabbi Yochanan to quote his rav, because it was obvious to the child that that's what the pasuk meant, and therefore it was pretty tough. But Rabbi Yochanan sort of tolerated the boy, right? Today we're going to see that all of a sudden the boy says something that Rabbi Yochanan does not tolerate so much. I have to understand why, what the difference is. But before we do that, I would just like to point out that the sugya over here is a very important one, because the aser ta'aser, the pashtus of aser ta'aser, is of course that it's talking about ma'aser tfuah. So that if you give the ma'aser of tfuah, so that then you have a right even to be menaseh Hashem, to challenge him. Let me see if I really get my money back, you know, and get rich because of this. Now, all of this, remember, according to Ramban, all of this was also nigram from the fact that the bracha, according to Ramban, that we make about sholeach bracha b'kriyazeh is only where you're going to be modeed for ma'aser. So therefore you have a haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there will be a ribui. So there you can make the bracha. But how can you make a bracha stam, that the norm is that whatever it is that isn't sholot bin ayin is by definition going to be mizborech? I mean, why should you think that you are shayach to bracha? That's what the sugya was until now. The reason that this is so important lehalacha is as follows. Because the Tosis brings over here the Sifri. And if you take a look in the Tosfos, this is so nogei l'halacha that I feel it's important to stop for a moment on it. Hochi ita b'sifri aser ta'aser et kol tvuat zaracha yotze asadeh shana shana, says the Sifri, ein li ela tvuat zaracha shechayev b'maaser. This only seems to be referring to the things that you actually grow in your field. But how do I know that if you get money from the bank on rebate, or you sell, do a good deal, whatever, pragmatia, kol sharevachim inai, how do I know that you're supposed to take off ma'aser? Talmud lomar, et kol. Tavimotzim lemar et tvuatcha. Why does it say kol tvuatcha? To be marbe, even sharevachim. So this is like a tremendous expansion of the halacha of ma'aser into what has become known, as I'm sure you know, as Maaser Ksafim, that there's an inyan of taking Maaser from all of your income. So this is the pashtus of what it's saying over here. Now, remarkably, the Lashon of the Bach says in Yeridaya that Maaser Ksafim is not a chiyuv at all, not even midrabbanan. It's just a beautiful hanhaga. This is the Bach Shita. And everybody yells at the Bach, what do you mean? It's a Sifri. And here's Tosis brings the Sifri Beferish. So basically, if you take a look at the various Shalas for Chuvas that are written on these things, the issue over here seems to be, as I'm sure also you've noticed, there's not a single place anywhere in Shas, there's no mention in the Rambam, no mention in the Smag, no mention anywhere in early sources that there is a mitzvah of Maaser Ksafim, in which case the pashtus is that there is such, and it very often happens, that there may be a drasha in the Sifri. As a matter of fact, it often happens that the Yerushalmi will bring a drasha. And because of the fact that the Bavli ignored it, we don't paskin it, and the Rambam doesn't bring it lahalacha. And therefore, the Bach apparently is relying on that to say it's not even a chiyuv min rabbanan. So even though there are shitas that say it's mamash drasha gemura and achi of the araisa, the fact is that the Gemara in Shabbos, remember, learns out from the aser to aser, we learn out to be marbe meiser behema. And therefore, it's mashma that it doesn't go with this approach at all of the Sifri. There's also to take into consideration this question. When the Gemara says that you are allowed to be menasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this, so does that mean that you could just give tzedakah and say, I want to see if I get rich for giving tzedakah? Or is this only a reference to meiser from tvua? So the Ramah brings that it's not a heter to be menasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu on tzedakah, but it would be mutter on meiser ksafim. In other words, not stam if you're giving tzedakah, not as part of a din of meiser. However, there are others who say this is only halacha when you're taking off meiser from your soda. There's certainly no heter to be menasas Hashem, which means that they're understanding that this drasha of the Sifri is an esmachta. It's not really a drasha, because otherwise it's exactly the same words, aser ta aseret ko ma'asat vodcha, right? In which case it would be mutil and asot. So apparently this is a big question. Now it happens to be that the Chofetz Chaim in Avas Chesed brings a raya from our Gemara that it should be mutter on any money. Why? Because how could Rabbi Yochanan tell Reish Lakish's boy, well, go try it out and you'll see. I mean, what does that mean? That Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish's little boy in the second grade, he's got fields that he's going to be taking meiser from. It means he's going to take meiser from his allowance, right? And he's going to see whether he's going to get more jelly beans than he had last week. So, I mean, so that means that apparently Rabbi Yochanan is telling him that it's mutter l'nasot, even on the money from his allowance. So it would appear. Anyway, that's the Chofetz Chaim. Okay. I just felt that it's very nogea to hear the different shitas in this thing. It's very sweet how the Gemara relates halacha l'maaseh with this little story of Rabbi Yochanan's kid, right? Okay. Now we get to the next maaseh. The next maaseh I told you yesterday is so nogea, the story of Hanukkah and the upcoming parshas. So the Gemara continues like this. So we got up to yesterday, we were up to words of Lo Hoshaya Rabbecha. That was the last thing that we learned. And of course, naturally, now my screen goes blank. Thank heavens I have my written Gemara, but it's very hard for me to read. Okay. So anyway, so the next story, which we had actually already gotten down to like five lines above the middle of the page. So we got to after the words, Lo Hoshaya Rabbecha. Well, my screen's back up, so let me just get to it. Another mitzvah happens that once, the two, at another occasion, Ashkeche, Rabbi Yochanan and Luka Reish Lakish. So he finds Reish Lakish, his son, saying over a pasuk. And the pasuk that he was saying was, Ivelet Adam Tesalef Targo, the Al Hashem Yizaf Libo. I'm sure you remember, we've spoken about this many times, but just in case, it's such a beautiful thing. So in this case, notice that Rabbi Yochanan did not ask the boy to tell me what you're learning. The boy makes sure that Rabbi Yochanan hears learning this pasuk. So Rabbi Yochanan says to himself, Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan, become a tami. And he's thinking to himself, this is a very important nekuda. Mi'ika midi diktivi biktuvi deloramisi bioraita. Does it really make sense that we should find such important insights in Kituvim? So what? So Shlomo HaMelech knows something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told us. I mean, it's got to be merumas in the Torah somewhere, because that's the mocker of all of Chachma. So what could this mean? So the little boy says to Rabbi Yochanan, what do you mean? It is in the Torah. Otuha milo remize, v'aktiv v'yetze libam v'yachardush elachiv lemor, mazot asa Elohim lanu. So, okay. So the brothers, when they're at the hotel and they open up Levi opens up his package and he finds the money, and they're terrified because this they feel is like just a way in which they're being planted. The money is being planted on them so that then they can be attacked. And why would that be? That this is an awfully obvious kind of thing for Rabbi Yochanan to have seen, isn't it? So why did Rabbi Yochanan miss that? That the little boy understands it, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't understand it. Because, obviously, this follows within a few psukim of the following discussion between the Shvatim. Aval ashemim anachnu, it's all our own fault. Alachinu, asherainu tzarat nafsho bitchananu elenu velo shamanu. Al kein ba elenu hatzara hazot. You understand that they said beferish, we are at fault. This is why this has happened. And Reuven even says to them, I told you. Hallo amarti alechem lemor. Al techetu vayoled velo shamatem. Vegam damo hinei nidrash. And Yosef had just heard those words and was very moved by them. So to say that this would be ivelet adam yisalev darko v'al Hashem yisaf libo, the point of that pasuk is, there's a beautiful little piece in the Aleh Shor that brings out how nogea lemaisa this is. That is, that there's only one time that people are suddenly ready to give everything into the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they say, oh, it's all hashgacha, it didn't work out, gamzu l'teva. When is that? When they totally screwed up. They do something stupid. They make a ridiculous investment, and then everything goes south. And they say, well, what can you do? It's hashgacha. They're not going to look in the mirror and say, hey, dumbbell, maybe it has something to do with the fact that you did something stupid. No, it's always hashgacha. So he says, this is like the perfect musr for that kind of thing. Ivelet adam yisalev darko. The guy's a total idiot, but Al Hashem is aflibo. It's always going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if it's that he's not Zoef, but the bottom line is he's always going to blame God for something that he himself is to blame for. Anyway, I just thought that was a nice aside. But getting back to the story. So what happens in this story over here? So obviously, Rabbi Yochanan felt that this is exactly the opposite. The brothers actually understood precisely. So when the kid says this to him, and the kid says, what do you mean it's not in the Torah? It says it beferish. So then he lifts up his eyes because he wants to look at the kid. The mother comes running, grabs the kid, and drags him out of the room. Afikte. She says to him, get away from him. He shouldn't do the same thing to you that he did to your father, in being nice and bayenov, and then he died. Like, what? After the kid spoke to him with that chutzpah, I wouldn't need you, and I wouldn't need your rabbi. I'm like, there he didn't care. And over here, like, he's really, I mean, is this like really so an amazing thing? So I said that the pshat was, I think this is frightening. The pshat was that the kid understood that this pasuk is utterly shocking because of the fact that just 5 minutes before, they had said, it's all our fault. So what do you mean, Mazal Hashem Lanu? No, so this is the next stage of your punishment. What, you think you're over it already? Elamai, the reason that they were so much more terrified now than they were when they were thrown into prison was because the only one that had found the money was Levi. And this was after Shimon was kept back in prison. So now, all of a sudden, they're thinking, oh my God, Shimon v'Levi Achim, this means that it's not because we had bad midas that didn't hear our poor brother's entreaties to us. It's nothing to do with that. That's to do with the fact that we're a bunch of rotten bastards for wanting to do what we were going to do, which is a totally different issue. That they couldn't see. The proof of this, the depth of the proof, is so shattering that it just leaves you stunned. When they came home, remember that they all opened up their packages and they all find the money. But they don't find the money on top of the package. They find it b'toch amtuchoteihem. The only one who found the money on the top was Levy, and the only one who found the money at the hotel was Levy. They are convinced that this is a plot. So when they go back with double their money, plus the money to pay back what they found, they grab Yosef's son, not knowing it's his son, but they're telling him, listen, we have no idea how we got that money back. We were all in the hotel, and we all opened up our packages, and every single guy found the money on top of the package. Now, that's ridiculous. That is not what happened. And if they believe it was a plot, then they know that the guy they're talking to knows that that's not what happens. And what's more, the worst thing is that they're saying a lie to the opposite purpose. If they would have said, we all came home and we found the money, so then, okay, I understand why you couldn't have turned around and brought the money right back. But if you're telling me you found it in the hotel just a few hours after you left, why the heck didn't you turn around and bring it back if you're so honest? So what are they lying to no purpose for? Because they weren't lying. They believed it. How did they believe it? Because their twisted minds needed to believe it. The same way we all end up believing the things that we need to believe. And that's what he was saying. And that's why he said that pasuk in front of Rabbi Yochanan. You, Rabbi Yochanan, after murdering my father, went running around and saying, oi, Reish Lakish, what happened to poor Reish Lakish? How am I going to live without Reish Lakish? Brilliant, really brilliant. So Rabbi Yochanan realizes, oh my God, this kid's worse than his father. And his mother realizes that this is a direct reflection of Reish Lakish's relationship. So she grabs him. She says, get out of here, because he's going to look at you in the same way that he looked at your father. Amazing. So that is the lesson of what it really means to say, Ivelas Adam Yisalev Darko. That's what proves Yisalev Darko. It's the lies that you tell yourself, which is the Siluf. Not what happens that's wrong. That's the insight of the kids. So Rabbi Yochanan understood. There's no child who understands that unless he's actually lived through it. So he's talking about me, obviously. That's like, whoa. You can see why he'd want to get rid of the kid. And unbelievable. Okay, anyway, guys. No. Do I see anybody dancing? No. It's hopeless. Okay, weiter. Yeah. Yomer Rabbi Yochanan, Matar Bishvil Yachid, Parnasa Bishvil Rabbi. Let's say you have an individual. Oh, I forgot to turn on the recorder. I didn't believe it. Hopefully the Zoom recording will be very good today. Ay, ay, ay. Okay. So if an individual needs to have parnasa from his field, so he needs rain, and he planted late. So everybody else already planted, he planted late. Or maybe he lives in a place where there's no other B'nai Yisrael. So he needs rain just for him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send just for him rain. Dichtiv, Yiftach Hashem lecha et otzaro hatov. Lecha is to you, Lashon Yachid, latet matar artzecha. But parnasa, which means the way that the economy is running and that people are making money, that is not for a Yachid. That is something that has to do with the din on the Kol HaOlam. That's talking about the overall sense of the way in which things are working out in the economy as a whole. So the economy is a function of the Rabbi, and the particular rain is a function of the Yochid. There were three people that were the ones who brought the Hanhoga for Klal Yisrael and gave them Parnasa. Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And there were three beautiful matanot that were given through them. The Be'er, which is the Be'er of Miriam, and that was the water. And then the Anan, that was the Anani HaKovet, and that was from Aaron. And the Man, which was the food, and that was from Moshe. Be'er b'schut Miriam, Amud Anan b'schut Aaron, Man b'schut Moshe, the moment that Miriam died, the Be'er disappeared. Nistalek ha-Be'er shenam rava tomot sham Miriam. And what's the next thing? V'lo hayamayim la'eda. And how did the Be'er come back? Chazra b'schut shneihem. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told both Moshe and Aaron to go and to speak to the Sela, and it will give its mayim. By the way, I just want to mention, there is a fascinating Rashi here that is not the way Rashi is mefarish in the Torah, in which he says that the reason that the Be'er did not give its water right away was because it was really Miriam's Be'er and was not used to responding to Moshe and Aaron and didn't want to respond to Moshe and Aaron. Right? Whereas in Chumash, Rashi's Masbir, that they made a mistake and they found the wrong Sela. I mean, obviously you could put the two Purushim together, that the Sela was Holach and hid because it didn't want to respond. But it's not the Pasha what Rashi said here. Could be just didn't want to go through the whole rigmarole of explaining the whole detail. But the point is that it was because of the transition between Miriam and Moshe and Aaron that the Be'er was not so easy to get water out of. Okay. So then it was Chozer B'schut Shnehem. Then as soon as Aaron died, the Anani Kavod disappeared. Shenema Vayishma Knani Melech Arad, Mashmua Shama. Shama Shemit Aaron. Why did the Melech Arad want to attack Israel? Because he heard that Aaron died and Nistalku Anani Kavod, and there were no more Anani Kavod which were protecting Klal Yisrael. So he thought, oh, that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not protecting them anymore. And he thought that that meant Nitna La Reshut Lilachem B'Yisrael. So now he has a right to fight them. Behainu Dichtiv, that's why it says in the Pasuk that the Pashtus people read that Pasuk as they saw, Vayir'u Kol Ha'ida, but that's not what it says. It's what it says, but it's not what it means. It doesn't mean Vayir'u Kol Ha'ida. It means Vayera'u Kol Ha'ida. They all became visible because of the fact that the Anan had gone away. Why? Because the Hum made Aaron, because Aaron had died, and the Ananim were only in his Zechus. And since he had died, therefore, they now became visible. So that's the way to be metargamit properly. So, Vahainu Dechtiv Vayiru Vayera'u. Altikra Vayirula Vayera'u. And that was Rish Lakish's drasha, because Rish Lakish says here, as he does in many places, that the word key is actually a key word that means four different things. It can mean E, Dilma, Ella, Daha, which includes Asher, which is, or, you know, maybe, and so on. So over here, if we're metargamit, Dehamit Aaron, because of the fact, not that Are mit Aaron, that Aaron died, they saw that he had died, but rather they became exposed because he died. And the same key could mean either of those things. So therefore, the two levels of the drasha, of the pashtus would be vayir'u, the drasha would be vayera'u, and they would both fit in the key. So then chazru shnehem b'zchut Moshe. So then at that point, Moshe had to support both the Anane HaKavod and the Be'er and the Man. Meit Moshe nistalku kulam, shenemar v'akhid et shloshet haro'im b'yerech echad. I will wipe out the three shepherds of Yisrael all in 1 month. But they didn't all die in 1 month. It says Beferish in the Pasuk. Aaron, it also says Beferish in the Pasuk. Was Rosh Chodesh Av? Aaron Ba'av. Moshe Ba'adar, as we figured out from the story of the man. Elamelamech nitbatlu shalosh matanot tovot nitnu ayadam. So that's why it's as if they all disappeared at once. But anyway, that means that individuals like Moshe were able to bring entire Parnassa for the entire world, all of Yisrael. So why are you saying that it's only for a tzibur? Here it says it came just for a yachid. Ah, come on. You know the answer to that. Shiny Moshe, given the Rabimu boy, Kirabim Domim. Obviously, Moshe, first of all, you know, come on. How many times do we have Moshe Shoko Kishishim Ribu and so on? It was the whole Metzias of Moshe was that he was basically there for Klal Yisrael. I mean, what that's called for a Yochid? You got to be kidding. Of course, that's considered to be Rabim. Rav Huna Bar Manoach and Rav Shmuel Bar Idi and Rav Chia from Vastania, they were Talmidim of Rava. when Rava died, they came to learn in Rav Papa's yeshiva. Now, that's a very dangerous thing, as we found. I don't want any Talmidim of Rabbi Meir in my yeshiva. And this is something that is so common. I've watched this happen. It's like, it is so common. So now they're listening to the Shiurim of Rav Papa. Now, obviously, this is like marrying, you know, a second husband. It's all comparisons, as the Gemara says. So they're listening to Rav Papa's Shiur, and they're looking at each other and rolling their eyes. Oh, God, what kind of shot is that? So everything that he would say, they would like be rolling their eyes. If they heard anything, so they would roll their eyes to one another. So Rav Papa was really, I mean, it's really affecting him. So he gets a dream, and in the dream he's read the pasuk, V'akhid et shloshet haroim. I'm going to get rid of all three of them. So the next day when they were going home, Rav Papa said to them, bye-bye, nice rabbis. It was wonderful knowing you. So he uses the lashon of Lizul Rabbanon Bishalma, but Bishalma means go to your deaths, right? That's what the Gemara said back in Brachas. If you say Lech Lishalom, so then Allah Vatzliach. Say Lech Bishalom, then it's Allah Vinitla. So this is exactly what he's telling them. Bye-bye. It's very vicious. There is another Girsa, by the way, that says that he said to them, Lishalma, to indicate that he's working on them and they shouldn't die. But, you know, okay. Rav Shimi Barashi, Avashkirach Kameder of Papa. There was another Maisu with Rav Papa where somebody, namely Rav Shimi Barashi, used to ask Kashas in the middle of this year, Avimak Shilei Tuva. And it was very embarrassing for Rav Papa because very often he didn't know the answer. And Yumachat Chazir Nafal Alape. So one day, Rav Shimi Barashi sees that Rav Papa was saying Tachanun, and he hears him say, Rachmona Litzlan Mikisuba the Shimi. May God save me from the embarrassment that I suffer because of the Shimi character. So he was Makabal on himself, Shtikuta, Vetulo Akshele. And he wouldn't ask him Kashas anymore. Now, the Mefarshim say that this is only where the sugya is not nogea hoira lahalacha, the sugya ro lahalacha, it's usur for Talmud to be shotek if he believes that the hoira was wrong. Fine. Anyway, getting back to the story of the rains, Reish Lakish also agreed with Rabbi Yochanan that matar can be for an individual. Dom Reish Lakish. Minayin le matar b'shvil yachid. How do we know that even a single individual can be zoche for needing rain? Because it says, Shalumi Hashem matar be'et malkosh, Hashem oseh hazizim, umtar geshem yitein lehem le'ish esev basadeh. So that means, this is in Zechariah, that you are going to be in a matzav of such lack of hester panim, and such giloy panim, at the time of the Geula, that if you need rain, just ask. And Hashem will give le'ish esev basadeh. Yochol lakov, says Reish Lakish. You might think that this means only if all of you get together and you need it together. No. Talmud lomar le'ish. V'tanya, the Braita takes even further. If it says in the Pasuk le'ish, so it might mean that that person requires rain l'chol sedotav. He needs rain desperately for everything that he's got. Talmud Lomar, no, Sadeh, just one field. And if it's one field out of 100 fields, you might think, so it'll rain on that one field. And if it's one field, you might think it has to be the whole field. Oh, no. Yochel kol sadeh, Talmud Lomar, Esev, one blade of grass. And if that's what was needed, you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rain on that blade of grass. And we find that on Aga with Rav Daniel Bar Katina. Rav Daniel Bar Katina had a garden. And every day he would go outside and he would examine that garden. This is why Gavi always runs around all of Eretz Yisrael. He needs to know if the Kinneret needs water today, so it should rain today. Otherwise, he needs to know if Meron is properly green, so it should turn green. You shouldn't think that he's running around stump. So therefore, Rav Daniel Bar Katina would do the same thing. He would go and be Messiah all of his property, and he would say, oh, this particular row in the field, in my garden, this needs water. But this one doesn't need water, so don't overwater it. I only want water on this row. And sure enough, you go back indoors, Atamitra, the rain would come and would water specifically the areas that he had designated. The Kamashki Kolecha, the Miborele Maya, that's what's called drip irrigation. And then what does it say? Hashem Oseh Chazizim. What are these Chazizim? Omer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Malamed Shekol Tzadik V'Tzadik, Hashem Oseh Lo Chaziz B'fnei Atzmo. We're using Chaziz here. We're going to ask what the literal meaning of a Chaziz is. But basically, we're looking at a Chaziz as being what is called a Tzinor of Hashpa'ah in terms of Kabbalah. We talk about the Tzinorot. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a special flow for each tzaddik for what it is that he needs during the time that he's in the world. That's why it says chazizim. And what is the literal meaning of chazizim? Chazizim are flying clouds. They're porchot. What are porchot? As Rabbi Yochanan said, siman lematar porchot. That's a sign that it's going to rain. What are these porchot? Omer of Poppy, this is Eva Kalish. It's these little thin clouds that seem to be zooming by while the cumulus clouds are up in the higher atmosphere. These things are close to the ground and they're flowing very quickly. And where you have that, that's a siman that it's going to be heavy rains coming. And Omer of Yehuda, another sign of rain coming is Nihila Mikami Mitra Oti Mitra. So if you have this very fine mist that comes before rain, then that's a sign that the rain is going to be coming and is going to be a long storm. But when you find fine rain that's there after a storm, that's a sign that the end of the storm has come. Mikame mitra oti mitra. If you want to remember which way is which, the simen is mahulta. When you put things in a sieve, so first you find very fine things are going to go right through. And then as you keep shaking it, you're going to get more and more coarse things that come through. It's having a drop of yours. So first you have, obviously it's not, it's just a cement. The first you have the very fine flour, so to speak, that's flowing through. And then you have the heavy rains and the big drops. The basa mitra, pasik mitra, the cement to that is the way that ezim defecate. So goats, they first have large pieces that they defecate, and then gradually it gets smaller and smaller and stops. So this is the same thing as the rain. Ula came to Bavel. Ula was famous for the fact that he had gone down to Bavel. And Chazer Parchot, he sees the Parchot are there underneath the big clouds. He says, quick, bring in my stuff that I left outside. It's going to be pouring soon. Dahashta Oti Mitra. Anyway, in the end, it was pretty embarrassing because there was no rain in Loati Mitra. So Ula says, it's these lying people here in Bavel. The same way they lie all the time, their rains lie. Because they're always promising tzedakah and they don't give tzedakah, like we said before. So, okay, that's Nesiyim V'ruach V'geshem Ayin, like we said before. Another mice when Ula was equal to Bavel. So when he first came to Bavel, he could not believe the prices. I mean, there was a bushel full of these incredible dates, which Bavel is famous for, and they're selling an entire bushel for a buck. And he says, this is amazing. You can buy a whole bushel full of honey for $1. And these stupid people, they don't learn Torah. They don't even need to make a parnasa. You can just live off of this stuff. So anyway, he bought, obviously, a bunch of this and ate it. He was up all night with diarrhea and misery, moaning and groaning. And he said, I can't believe it. These people around here, they buy a whole bushel full of knives and they still are able to be sitting and learning. They're amazing people. Anyway, a little bit of experience goes a long way. Tanya. So getting back now to the rains and the way that we metaphorize the entire structure of our tefillas on rain and what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for us when he brings us rain. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, basically, you don't need to put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of the story. You need to put the awareness of the Adam in the story. So basically, the world is on a rain cycle. The water is coming from the ocean, and it goes up into the atmosphere, and then it falls back to the earth. And you see this directly from Gan Eden, because what was missing in Gan Eden was only humanity's awareness, nothing else. And it said right away at the beginning, the aid ya'ale min ha'aretz v'yishkar kol pnei ha'adama, that basically there's water vapor that is coming from the surface of the planet, which then gets spread around the entire earth. Omar lo Rabbi Yoshua, come on. You can't look at it that way, because then if you really see that as being the ocean water, people can't relate to it as the ocean water. The ocean water is salty. Is the rain salty? Says Rebbe Eliezer, well, that's, you know, that's part of what happens when you evaporate the water. It leaves the salt behind. That's why the oceans are salty, silly. So, you know, what's your problem? But obviously the issue over here is specifically the question of how it is we're meant to relate to it. So Rebbe Eliezer says that's part of the relationship, is that they're mimatkin be'avin. When they turn into clouds, they become sweet. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says that's keeping HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of it. In reality, you have to look at it that kol olam kulo mimayim elyonim ushote. You have to look at it as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pouring the water out from his own storage place in the heavens. Shenemar limtar hashamayim tishtemayim. You will be drinking directly from the rain from the sky. That's what it's telling you to understand about the nature of Eretz Yisrael. This, by the way, is the beginning of a sugya that will continue tomorrow, which is how it is that Gan Eden, or Eretz Yisrael, is the moker of the rains, essentially, the rest of the world drinking the leftover. So obviously, we're not talking over here of the actuality of the physics that are involved. So, Elamani Mikayem Ve'edi Alemin Ha'aretz. So what does it mean? Where it does say that Lamaisa, the water vapor, comes out from the surface. That means, Melamed, She'ananim Midgabrim Ve'olim L'Rakia U'potchim Piem Kanod. So it's true that the clouds start forming with the mist on the ground. Then they go up to the sky, and in the sky, that's where they're given the water from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they open up their mouths like a container, and the Mei Matar is put into them. The Kablin Mei Matar from the Matar HaShamayim. Shenemar, it says, Yozoku Matar Leido, that these Shamayim will pour out. This is the, again, the whole discussion in Eov that we've been quoting Psukim from, that talk about the rains as HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Eov the complexity of how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mated to the Olam, and how silly he is in attempting to reduce it to the way that he does things mechanically. And the way to imagine them is that they have these little perforations in them, just like a sifter, a sieve. And then they take this water that's been poured into them, and they spread it out evenly over the ground. Shenemar chashrat mayim avei shechakim. These avim, these clouds up in the sky, they are what actually are the sieves of water. Ve'ein ben kol tipa l'tipa l'kabalonima. And these raindrops are falling with just a hairbreadth between them. By the way, the actual physics of the formation of raindrops and the interrelationship of the surface tension, the atmospheric pressure, heat, and so on, is actually extremely complex, that we see these effects, that it's as if they're being poured out of a sieve. That's an amazing kind of effect, which we take for granted in the Geshami. L'lamedcha, and basically what we're about to see will teach you, she'gado yom ha'geshamim ki'yom she'nivru bo shamayim v'oretz, as we said at the beginning in the Masechet, that we should learn all of this. Look, the way that Rashi learns is the Lamedcha is not referring to what we just said, but that is very difficult to believe. You don't say Lamedcha. The following is Lamedcha when you haven't said it yet. So the Pashtus of the Gemara, it's near Ali, that because of the fact that we went back to Maisa Bereishis to understand from Ve'ed Ya'aleh Min Ha'aretz, the way in which the Geshamim reproduce every single rainfall. The situation at the moment of Maaseh Bereishis is l'olam etcha. And then we bring the limudim that we had at the beginning of the Masechet, in which we understood that the entire idea of Masechet Ta'anit is the teaching of the necessity of the responsiveness of the Adam Ayin Lavadas Adama. That's the point. So it's Lametra Shagoro Yomagishomim Kiyom Shinibru Boshamayim Varets, as it indeed says, Ose Gidolot Vein Cheker, and like we had the beginning, Anotin Matap De Chutzais. And therefore it means that this is Arein Cheker, and it says, Aloya Datim Lo Shamata Lokeolam Hashem Ein Cheker Litvunato. And that was, we're leaving out the Borek Tzotoretz, obviously, and the other aspects that we had brought at the beginning, which somebody throws in here, Mechin Arim B'Kocho, but that's not, Rashi says that's not in the Gemara. Okay, now, how do we see, in the terms of the Machlokas that we just had, which is always the same Machlokas in about Maaseh Bereishis, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, K'man Ozlo Hadichtiv, Mashkeh Harim Mi'Aliyotav. What about the fact that we have in this Baruch Inafshi, Mashkem Harim Me'aliotav? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu waters the mountains from the upper places, the levels in the Shamayim. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, what this means is, Me'aliotav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is in the Shamayim, waters the mountains. It means the water on the mountains come from the storage of the water that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps to be able to do this chesed mi'aliyotav. Well, obviously, that's going according to Rabbi Yoshua, because Rabbi Yoshua says that it's b'mayim elyonim that we are able to eat. And how does Rabbi Eliezer deal with the pasuk? Rabbi Eliezer says, listen, obviously, grossly speaking, what is our experience of the rain? It's that it comes down from the sky. So like, why wouldn't it say in the pasuk, the rain comes down from the sky? I mean, it also says that the sun rises in the morning. I mean, obviously. So this is all a perspective issue. The rain comes down from the sky. So given the sauke lahata, once the water came up from the ocean, so then mashkemi alotav korelei. So obviously we refer to it as coming down from the sky. I mean, you really don't think that that's the way the Torah uses the words? So how do you explain the pasuk that says, Yilote Mahachi? How do you explain where we learn in the Tochacha that your rain is going to be avak v'afar min hashamayim? You're going to be covered with dirt, with dust from the sky. What, you really think that there's a pile of dirt in the sky? Elak even the midle la'atam. Obviously, this is part of a dust storm and a sandstorm that's coming down on you that was taken from the earth's surface and is falling far away. And it says, Min HaShamayim. And look, even the Madli Lahatam, is it falling from the sky or is it not? Yes, thank you. So then as far as I'm concerned, it's Min HaShamayim Karoli. So I think it's from here. Okinami, Kivan the Salke Lahatam, it went up to the sky, so to speak. So then it's called Mi Aliyotav. What else would you want to call it? And Keman Ozlad Yomer Rebbe Chanina, Koneis Kaneid Mehayam, Notein Biotzarot Taomot. There it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes like a big pile all of the water from the ocean, and he puts that water into silos, into storehouses. What that means is that water turns into grain that's put into storehouses. So who's that? That's Migoram Lo Tzarochit Maluba. What fills up the silos? It's all of the Mehayam. It's the water that came from the Tahomot. So what you're looking at, when you look at that grain, as you're driving by Haifa, but they just moved it. But anyway, for decades it was there, right? You're looking at the water of the Tahom. It's just now in a new form, which is food. Where does that come from? Tahomot. Obviously, that's beautifully going like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, the water in the ocean becomes the bread in the supermarket. What a beautiful way of looking at it. What does Rabbi Yoshua do with that? Since according to Rabbi Yoshua, we're supposed to be mityaches, not to the ocean, but we're supposed to be mityaches to the mayim el yonim. No, that's talking about in Briyat Olam. that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took all of the water. The planet was originally covered with water, like it says in the opening of Bereshit. And then he was machnis knod into the Otsarot, which is a reference to the oceans themselves as being the storage places for the water that was originally on the surface.